Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Next Sunday, June 8th, is Pentecost Sunday. And that's a big deal. Many of you are newer to New Life. Some of you show up, and God has been so gracious to us that you have been warmed in your heart and soul to keep coming and to develop relationships and get involved, and you keep coming back, and you are in the process or have already decided to make this your local home church. And some you experience the Lord in your life and in some others around you, and this is not a perfect place, that's for sure, but hopefully we're getting closer and moving along. But some, over time, they're like, oh, it's New Life Church. I've heard of New Life Churches, like it's a denomination or something. And it's not. Some say, you know, I don't even know really, is this an independent church? Is this a, you know, they know it's certainly not some denominations because they come in and just style and flavor and everything is just so different. Than maybe what we've experienced somewhere in our life. And I want you to know that our church is part of a fellowship. It's not just an independent church just kind of running out doing their own thing. There's accountability, and that's a good thing for all of us in our life, in a church. And we are part of a fellowship of the Assemblies of God. And its roots go back to the early 1900s, this fellowship began to emerge, and it emerged, I want you to know, out of, you know, an old-fashioned word, it's actually a biblical word, out of revival. And it was great outpourings of God's Spirit and visitation in and through people, and very dynamic things happened. People being dramatically changed, not even looking, but the Spirit of the Lord just moved so mightily upon people and praying people. And through that revival, healings, a discovery of biblical truths, not man-made stuff, they found out, oh, He still does what we read about in the outpouring in the ministry of the Holy Spirit and dynamic things and changed lives, the greatest miracle of all when it comes to what we experience in this life with Him is a changed life. We all want to see dramatic healings, physical healings. We want to see the lame walk. We want the blind to see, the deaf ears to be open, and whatever other ailment or disease that seems to press us in this life. And I agree, because He is willing and He is able, and He has all authority to do so. But the greatest miracle is going from what we were to what He has us to become. A transformed life. It's the greatest testimony that you can give to those who don't believe and those who might know you. They knew you before and they know you now and they say something has changed. They just didn't get older. Something has changed for the better. And we're transformed by His power, by the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, by the will of God and the Word of God. And that is His power, His anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage in our life from sin and habits and whatever else, from our past, from our natural tendencies, to change us, to even change our desires from the desires to serve self but to serve Him and serve others, that we begin to be transformed by this faith in Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to wrestle with us and keep working us over and with us and loving us in this life to become what we ought. And Pentecost is a very distinct doctrine of the Scripture, of the New Testament church, and of the fellowship of which we are part of, the Assemblies of God. It is a Pentecostal fellowship. It is a distinct belief in the Holy Spirit, and not just that the Holy Spirit's out there and He did things in the Scripture, but He doesn't do those things now, or He's only here to transform us and bear fruit of His character in us. That is true, but He is also here to contend with us and work through you. Turn to a couple of people and say, the Holy Spirit to work through you. To impact others with this message of the gospel, we can do good things. We can do right things. And with it being right and according to the will of God, there will be fruit. But when the Holy Spirit begins to come upon us, live in us, and move through us, there is this incredible power of God that is demonstrated and makes it so much more fruitful and powerful. The ministry of Jesus by the anointing of the Spirit. And I want to talk to you today, as quickly as I can, is part one to a part two next week. On the day of Pentecost. Some of this I'm going to assume you know, or I'm going to make reference to it. If you don't, you can jot it down, you can go look it up, and I'm going to move a little bit quickly, and it's not to be a disservice to anybody. But in the Old Testament, there was a thing they called the Ark of the Covenant. It was, all intents and purposes, a box. God gave instructions about this box, this holy box. And upon the lid, He says how to build the cherubs, and on the top of that is called the mercy seat. They built this, and in the Ark of the Covenant, this box, they put three things. They put the law of God, which was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. You can just call it the Ten Commandments, the law of God. It was placed in this Ark of the Covenant. And also in the Ark of the Covenant, at a point, they were instructed to take some of the manna, the miraculous bread that God sent every day fresh, for them to eat of, okay, as they wandered through the wilderness after Egypt and before they crossed over to Canaan. God miraculously provided bread to come down from heaven. It was, they called it manna, and it was like a bread. I'm not exactly sure what it was like or what it tasted like. I was not there. From the front, you might look at me and go, are you sure? From the back, I might look okay. So they gathered this in a, we'll call it a jar. They gathered it and they put it in the jar. And they put it inside the Ark of the Covenant. The third thing that went into the Ark of the Covenant was Aaron, the priest. They took his rod or his staff, okay? He carried. And though it had no roots, it budded. Miracle, by the way. It budded. It gave fruit. And they took that and they put it in the Ark of the Covenant, each of those things representing some very specific things that were in the box that represented God's presence. It was God's Word, the law of God, the manna, God's provision, the miraculous bread, okay, that came down from heaven, and the budding staff of the priest confirming the ministry of the priesthood and the power of God to do these things. So this box represented God's presence to them. His word, his power to do ministry, and his provision. That was all in the box and the presence. And so when they get to a place where they build a temple, they take this and put it into a room called the Holy of Holies. And you couldn't just walk in there. In fact, they would tie a rope with bells on around a priest because he would go in once a year. Who wanted that job? You say, why'd they put a rope and bells on him? Because if the sins of the people were not forgiven, he would drop dead. Yeah. And who was going to go in and get him? No, we'll drag him out. So they'd listen for the bells to be moving. He's still alive. And so it represented the presence of God. In fact, Israel, from time to time, they would have and they had to carry this the appropriate way. Only the priest could carry it, and they built the rings and the rods went through it, and they carried this, and they would carry it out into battle at times, because it represented the presence and the power and the authority of God, and He brought about great victories in battle. The Ark of the Covenant. I want you to fast forward now to the book of Acts, the whole book. But chapter 2, we see, and I'll go into this in a little more detail next week. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out. Prophet Joel said it would come. Jesus told his followers, his disciples, to become apostles. You pray, go every day. Pray, remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we'll talk about that. Because it shows up as a baptism of power. And there were signs that went along with it, but that's next week. You have to come back for that. You see, there was a change that happened. See, the presence and the power of God, it still came upon certain people in the Old Testament, but the presence and the power of God was in the box. His word, his authority, the law. Okay? The Holy Spirit, we know, is the one who inspired people to write the mind of God that we could benefit and read it and know it. The jar, the manna, the provision of God to sustain and take care of his people. That miraculous bread that came down from heaven is Jesus. The miraculous bread of heaven that Jesus has come down, he has been provided for you and I. His word, his law, his prophecy, his promise, God is his word. The bread of heaven that Jesus has come down. The budding rod and staff, that endorsement of the authority and the power of ministry, the priesthood, that now we see the empowerment of that ministry endorsed by God in the book of Acts. You see, the Ark of the Covenant really in many ways is a foretelling and a foreshadowing of what was to come. Because now God's presence doesn't dwell in a box. we see in Acts that now his spirit, his presence, dwells in people. In people. His word, his provision, Jesus living in us. Paul writes all about it. The Apostle Paul. His power to do ministry. It dwells in people. That is the book of Acts. It's Pentecost. And it is an empowerment, a baptism of power that came upon some of the people and in some of the people that it changed them forevermore. When we hear the word Pentecost, what it really means is 50. And it was commemorated by 50 days after Moses received the word, the law of God. And what happened is this became a commemorative, but it became one of the feast of Pentecost. It was talked about in the Old Testament. It's not just the book of Acts. That 50 days after Passover. Okay? So I want you to know that God was working this all along. There's a consistency of him throughout all of Scripture. But when it comes to Pentecost, it's not just a New Testament thing. It is an Old Testament thing that started. And in that 50 days of the Feast of Pentecost, this feast was, though it was a commemorative of Moses receiving God's law, okay, but there's this feast, and what it did is it celebrated, it was a celebration of 50 days after the wheat harvest. You're thinking, what does this have to do? Just listen to this. Follow this. And so now this 50 days after is a celebration that the harvest of wheat has come in. We've harvested, it's complete. And there's a great celebration. Do you remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? There were signs and wonders that showed up. There was a commotion that went on. And I'll allude to some of this next week and where this took place and in the city and the significance. But Peter gets up when the crowd is going, what is going on? He gets up and he preaches the truth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and walks them through some history and brings them to a point where now the crowd shouts, what must we do to be saved? And he tells them. On that day, in Acts, you will see in Acts that what happens is about 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ in one sermon. The Holy Spirit showed up, and now there was power. Power to do ministry, Holy Spirit power that worked upon the hearts and the conviction of people. You see, you and I, we don't come to God alone. He draws us. He draws us. He works in us. He reveals himself. He moves us along. None of us are good enough to come to God on our own. He loves us enough to come and find us and draw us and soften us and get us to start to think straight, to leave the old life and to be born again. That power of the Spirit, that ministry that happened in Peter's life, this baptism of power to do the ministry. And he stands up and he preaches the word. And he preaches about the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ. And this power of the Spirit just exudes through him, because now the presence and authority and power of God lives in him, not in a box. That's the church. to live in us. And he preaches this. And you'll find it in Acts 2, verse 41, where they say about 3,000 got saved. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 4? I'll read this to you. Verse 35. Disciples get concerned and about bringing food, and Jesus says, don't worry about it. I have food that you don't know about. And it wasn't literal physical food. It was to do the will of the Father. And he says this to them. He says, do not say that there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white. Wheat field. They're white. They're white for the harvest. Here it is, Pentecost. The Spirit is outpoured, the power to do ministry, and a harvest comes in. 3,000 souls. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this day of Pentecost, that in the Old Testament, it would celebrate the completion of a harvest. And here, now in Pentecost, in the book of Acts, in the New Testament, there is this harvest. We need to connect this, what God is speaking through time. And now, into the future from there to you and I. That Pentecost is not just a feast. It's not just a celebration. It is the baptism of the Spirit into every believer in Christian's life who will receive the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, to baptize us for power, to see the harvest, to collect the harvest, to preach the gospel, to pray for people, to give scripture, to give a word, to give something prophetic with power, not just our own words. His scripture, his word, the bread of heaven, Jesus, that people could eat of him in our lives. In our lives. And endorsed to do ministry by the power of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul, and I may mention this next week, in the book of Acts, when Jesus confronts him, and he goes blind for 3 days, he has a come to Jesus moment. Have you had one? His eyes were opened physically, but the spiritual parallel is spiritually his eyes were opened to the point of salvation in Jesus Christ. And after his eyes were opened, he was now baptized in the Holy Spirit. Eyes open first, baptism of power next. Sometimes you and I get stalled between the two. We get stalled. We believe in Jesus. We love Jesus. We pray. We're faithful to church. We volunteer. We tithe. We can go through the checklist of what a Christian's life looks like. But I'm telling you, according to the gospel, according to the kingdom of heaven, that there is a baptism of power for you to do the works of ministry. You love Jesus. He saved you. And you want to do the works of ministry. You have a desire. But you and I need his power to be effective and see the fruit and to be able to harvest. It's a baptism of power. And the longer we stall between salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit's power with evidence, the longer we build up doubt about it, we build up a familiarity of going without this baptism of power to the point that now we even argue and say, well, it doesn't mean that you have to or you don't have to receive this. I've been living for the Lord a long time without this baptism of power, or I have the baptism of power because you want to claim that. Because, you know, just because the evidence hasn't shown up and you want to make something else evidence so to justify yourself. I get all that argument. I understand it. I'm compassionate towards it. But it doesn't change the Word of God and His progression and what He wants to do in and through your life. Has the Lord used you prior to that? Yes. Because Christ lives in you. But a powerful dynamic of the Spirit to help you overcome yourself, to help me overcome me, to help me overcome opposition. You see, that presence and power of God in the life of the believer, get this, we get to walk into the battle with Him because He is in us. I might mention this next week, but I'm going to close with this. In the book of Acts, Peter, as the apostle, and as he grew and developing and in his faith, it says that when he walked by, they would bring out the sick, the lame, the demonic. And when he would walk by, if his shadow would pass over them as he would walk through the street, if his shadow passed over you, people were healed, delivered, set free. You see, here's the thing. When Peter was walking with Jesus through the Gospels, Jesus would walk and Peter would follow. And Peter, he was always in the shadow of Jesus. You know what that means? It's like having sometimes an older sibling and you kind of always walk in their shadow, right? Or somebody's training you, mentoring you, or you get a new job and they say, I want you to shadow so-and-so today in the factory and you'll just learn and what, right? So Peter was walking in the shadow of Jesus, while Jesus taught and spoke and did ministry and had private meetings with his disciples. Peter walked in the shadow of Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit was outpoured, now Jesus walked in the shadow of Peter. So that when Peter's shadow passed over, Jesus was in the shadow and it set people free. That is the baptism of the power of the Spirit of God that is to live in you and I. Don't stop short. Ask the Father for His promised Holy Spirit. Why don't you stand up, please, all over this room. Next Sunday, I will preach about this New Testament Pentecost. I wanted you to grasp today what Pentecost meant to God's people from the Old Testament in time. Sue and Libby, come here, please. Hurry up. Hurry up. Sorry, those two are heading out of town, and I saw them slipping out early. Pray for them. No, I'm kidding. I just wanted to speak to my wife and granddaughter before they left, so sorry to hold you up, but those are two of my girls. So next Sunday, we're going to preach the baptism of the power of the Spirit. With the initial physical evidence that that baptism has happened to you, in you. I'm going to talk about that initial physical evidence, what it is. We can read about Pentecost in the Old Testament. We can look at what's in the box and we can look at the miracles and go, wow, God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Wow. Miraculous bread from heaven came down and fed them. That's a lot of people every day. And they got fresh bread every day. And you look at like the priest rod and staff, and it's like no roots, and walk around it, and it's budding and bearing almonds. We go, wow. But the moment he wants to do some miracle, miraculous, supernatural thing in our life, now today, we get apprehensive. And yet we want to see it. We want to watch him do it. And we want to watch him do it on, in, and through, and to other people. He didn't mean for you to be a spectator. He meant for you to be a priest. It's now through Jesus Christ, our great high priest. It is a royal priesthood. You are all priests to God. You don't need to go through a man. You don't need to go through the pastor. You don't need to go through the priest. You can go directly to God. You see the Holy of Holies? The curtain, Ava, the curtain was torn apart so that now Jesus made a way for every person to enter. Every person to enter to him and not have to go through somebody else. We go through Jesus Christ alone. This baptism of power, not only to do ministry, but to overcome yourself. You and I still have to do a lot of overcoming of ourselves. He's got to help me. It's not just Randy pulling up his boots and doing it all on his own. I need him to help me. Empower me with him. Less of Randy, more of Jesus. Randy, keep walking in his shadow to the point where now Jesus will walk in yours and there will be a harvest because of the power that God puts in the life, inside the life of the believer. You come next week. We're going to pray with people who say, I want the baptism of power. I don't care who's around. I don't care who's watching. I want to get to God, and I want God to get to me. Jesus is the baptizer. Scripture says it. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with power. Can operate in and through you. We weren't meant to collect the baptism of power and then just keep it in here. It might as well have stayed in the box.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.